It's an honor to be here with you tonight. I can't tell you anything new about the prophet, peace be unto him. You know it. You've heard it over many years. But I've been studying it the last few weeks, many hours. I even listened to 6 hours of lectures on the prophet, and I loved every minute of it. I've enjoyed my study and enjoyed the information that I've learned about and have come to love and appreciate this wonderful, wonderful, great man. Muhammad, peace be unto him, had a strong conviction that he had seen a vision, and this was tested by terrible persecution. One time he was praying in the Kaaba and a man dumped camel guts and manure on top of him. I'm surprised at the extent that people went to humiliate him and his family and the people who followed him. And how strong he was in order to survive all of this. On the street, a large man grabbed him by the throat and almost choked him to death. His uncle came and rescued him. People spat in his face. Kids threw stones at him. People dumped garbage on his doorstep and threw garbage at him and his family and followers. One family of followers were burned to death. One author said, despite all this, Muhammad, peace be unto him, did not live in hiding. He did not stay in an ivory tower as the prophet of God, expecting followers to come to him. He lived amongst his people, and consequently he was subject to both physical and mental torture. His name was smeared, his reputation and honor sullied. He was accused of being a liar and a charlatan. He was dismissed and reviled. Despite of all of this, he survived. He showed an extraordinary amount of stamina and endurance to keep his faith strong. He finally left by sneaking out of town when assassins were spread all over to try to kill him. And he was able to slip out and go to Medina with his people. They built their first little masjid in Medina, which was the first time they were able to pray together in peace. My religious history is similar to yours. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, our founder, Joseph Smith, claimed to have a vision, which resulted in a holy book, the Book of Mormon. Joseph said, I had actually seen a vision, and though I was hated and persecuted for saying that I had seen a vision, yet it was true. And while they were persecuting me, reviling me, and speaking all manner of evil against me falsely for so saying, I was led to say in my heart, why persecute me for telling the truth? I actually had seen a vision. And who am I that can withstand God, or why does the world think to make me deny what I've actually seen? For I had seen a vision. I knew it. I knew that God knew it. And I could not deny it. Neither dare I do it. At least I knew that by so doing I would offend God and come under condemnation. My ancestors, who accepted the teachings of Joseph Smith and joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, were driven by mobs from their homes in the eastern United States. They were driven through Ohio, Missouri, and Illinois, and finally were forced to go clear across the continent to settle in what is now Salt Lake City, Utah. They had great faith, and because of their courage and faith, I stand here today as a representative of my faith. I thank God for them. Because of the courage of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be unto him, and his early followers, you are here today as representatives of Islam. Alhamdulillah. The address which the Holy Prophet Muhammad delivered shortly before he died, after the performance of what has come to be known as the farewell pilgrimage, it represents the whole spirit and teaching Islam. I quote, the Prophet Muhammad, O men, what I say to you, you must hear and remember. All Muslims are as brethren to one another. All of you are equal. All men, whatever nation or tribe they may belong to, and whatever station in life they may hold, are equal. Even as the fingers of two hands are equal, so are human beings equal to one another. No one has any right, any superiority to claim over another. You are his brothers. O men, your God is one. Your ancestor is one. An Arab possesses no superiority over the non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab over an Arab. A white man is in no way superior to a black man, nor in that matter is a black man better than a white, but only to the extent to which he discharges his duty to God and man. The most honored among you in the sight of God is the most righteous among you. I quote from Dr. Siddiqui. Quote, he emphasized justice towards all people. He was just not only to Muslims, but to non-Muslims. He was just not only to his friends, but also to his enemies. Allah gave him the message of universal justice. He spoke against racial discrimination. He spoke against tribalism and against all kinds of prejudices. There is not a single incident nor a single statement in which he showed directly or indirectly any prejudice against any person of any race, color, or tribe. In society in which he was born, such discriminations were common, but he always spoke against them and reminded his followers to treat all people with respect. He restored to his part of the world the concept of universal human rights. He spoke about the rights of life, the right of basic necessities of life, the right of property, protection of honor, personal freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of conscience and conviction, equally before the law, the right of consultation. It was he who taught that women must be treated with respect and honor. It was he who taught the dignity of workers and said that workers should be given fair wages and paid properly. It was the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who taught the first time in history that rulers are responsible before their people and that they can be removed by their people. Prophet Muhammad taught kindness to family, love of children, respect of parents and elders, and kindness to neighbors. He told us that even if our parents or other relatives reject Allah's message and continue in their unbelief or idol worship, we should not mistreat them. We should not follow the wrong ways, but in worldly matters, we should, their wrong ways, but in worldly matters, we should be good to them. He told us that we should treat all our neighbors with care and kindness. He told us, quote, he or she is not a believer who eats while his neighbor is hungry. He did not distinguish between a Muslim and a non-Muslim in his humanitarian treatment of relatives and neighbors. Prophet Muhammad was not only kind to Muslims, he was also kind and respectful to non-Muslims. He listened to their arguments and answered them in the nicest manner. He criticized their misconceptions and gave them the message of Islam, but he never forced them to accept Islam. Some of his own relatives did not accept Islam, but the Prophet did not mistreat them, even when he had full powers to do that. He rather helped them whenever they were in need. He taught kindness to neighbors and to all relatives, whether Muslims or non-Muslims. Prophet Muhammad never allowed fighting any person or group unless they attacked first. He urged peaceful relations, agreement, and treaties, and he reminded his followers to observe all treaties and covenants as long as the enemies observe them. When the leaders of various tribes in Makkah made life difficult for Prophet Muhammad, surrounded his house, and came to kill him, the Prophet did not leave his home without making sure that anything that he had borrowed or kept as a trust with him must be returned to the rightful owners. Although some of them turned against him and became his enemies because of his message of Islam. This is a most unique example of sincerity and honesty. It is reported that after the migration to Medina, while the people of Makkah were still his enemies, it came to the attention of the Prophet that they were going through shortage of food due to some sort of famine. The Prophet immediately sent some food for them from Medina. This is another unique example of humanitarian spirit towards his enemies, even when they are at war. The Prophet Muhammad never allowed the starvation of any person, even animals. He was an entirely human prophet. One source depicts him pulling up his robe and running a foot race with his young wife. He was also tender towards his children. We read of him performing community prayers with one or the other grandson climbing on his back, and at times he would recite from the Quran at the mosque with his granddaughter on his shoulders. And immediately following the successful Khaybar campaign, a camel skin full of jewels and ornaments taken from the defeated city was brought to be divided. Before all the leaders arrived, Muhammad took a beautiful pearl necklace for his wife. But he couldn't sleep that night because of his acute awareness that removing that one item from the spoils before they'd been divided, he had taken more than he was legitimately entitled to. He was in charge. He was a conqueror, but he was fair to everyone. The next morning, he got up and asked his wife to return the necklace, but she had already given the pearls to the poor. So you see that the love and the humanitarian compassion that was in their family. He was very scrupulous in his honesty. From his early youth, he was known as someone everyone could trust. The Prophet Muhammad was a very loving and caring person. And as I've studied his life, I've come to feel like I could sit down and just talk with him. I'd feel very comfortable to be with him. As comfortable as I am when I sit down and talk with Dr. Kazwini and experience the friendship that's there and feel as a friend and an equal. And Dr. Kazwini, with the blood of the Prophet in his, flowing through his veins, is a wonderful example to all of us of the Prophet Muhammad. May Allah continue to bless them both. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7 in the Bible, said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." What is the fruits of Islam? I see them before me. I see the lives of good, wonderful people who are struggling to live the laws of Allah. And I say thank you so much as friends and people who've centered their lives on Allah's teachings. Muslims, we for 14 years, Judy and I have been working with the Muslim people. We've been in your homes. We've been in your meetings. Sometimes we've been in a week's time, we've spent more time with the Muslim people than with the Latter-day Saints. We feel like we know your hearts, and we thank you for being people who are faithful, people who are generous, people who are family-centered, people who are righteous. Thank you for being so good to us. After we leave a Muslim event, all the way home we're saying, these are wonderful people. These are such good people. I thank you very much. And I thank Allah for giving me the privilege of knowing you and seeing your example. Thank you very much.